බුද්ධෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සාදු. Today is 2nd January 1992, the sixth day of our meditation retreat. Yesterday we explained how to deal with the painful sensation. Yes. As I told you, the pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. When the pain is well observed attentively, energetically, first of all, you feel it unbearable, severe and stronger. You have to be patient with it by observing it, by penetrating into it. Then gradually your mindfulness becomes, your nature mind becomes concentrated more and more deeply on the pain. Then you come to realize the pain, the specific characteristics of the painful sensation, is unpleasant physical sensation. Unpleasant physical sensation is the specific characteristic of pain, dukkha, vedana, and pali. When you realize it more clearly, then first of all, you know the pain as an unpleasant physical sensation of phenomenon. Then you distinguish between the pain and the mind that notes it. There's the pain, unpleasant physical sensation, and there's the mind that notes it. You come to differentiate between the object and the subject. The object, the unpleasant physical sensation, the subject, the mind that notes it and to realize it. This is the first insight knowledge of the 13 stages of insight knowledge. It's called Nama Rupa Paricchedha Jnana in Pali. The meaning is the insight which differentiates between nama and rupa, mental process and physical process, or the insight knowledge that discerns the true nature of mental process and physical process. This is the first stage of inside knowledge. Then we have 13 stages of inside knowledge, and one path knowledge, Magganyana, and one fusion knowledge, Flanyana, and one review knowledge, Pachavakananyana. In this way, altogether, a meditator has to go through all these stages of insight knowledge and path fruition and review knowledges until he has attained at least the lowest path knowledge, that is Sotapatimagnana. Out of these jnanas, insight, the insight that differentiate between painful sensation, the unpleasant physical sensation, and the mind that notes it, realizes it, is called Namarupa Prichidanyana. You see, you can realize or penetrate into the true nature of painful sensation because your concentration is good enough. If the concentration is not good enough, you won't be able to realize any mental process or physical process. So to have any insight knowledge, you need some degree of concentration, which is called purification of mind. In the course of a Vipassana meditation, there are the seven kinds of purifications. The first is Sila Visuddhi, purification of moral conduct, morality. To purify morality, a moral conduct, we have to observe five precepts or eight precepts. Five precepts is abstention from killing, abstention from stealing, abstention from not stealing, abstention from taking what is not given, and abstention from sexual misconduct, abstention from telling lies, abstention from using any kind of intoxicants. These are the five precepts. If you fully observe these five rules of moral conduct, your deed and speech is purified. It means a purification of a morality or moral conduct. When you fully observe a precept, then purification of our moral conduct is also attained by observing a precept. When you observe a precept, you have ample time to devote on your meditation, because and the eighth precept, the sixth one is abstention from taken substantial food after midday. So after midday you have nothing to do for your dinner or for your any kind of a substantial food. So you have a lot of time to spend on your meditation. That's why you have to observe a precept. There's a time is prescribed or fixed for taking juice or herb tea. That's also not very much important. When you are not hungry, you need not to take any juice or any herb tea. Then you have more time to spend on meditation. That's some of the meditators here do not go for juice or herb tea. Instead of taking these things, they spent on their meditation. They spent that period of time on meditation. Then their mindfulness and concentrations becomes continuous and constant for a large extent. That's why you have to, you should observe a precepts. Yes, purification of morality, sila visuddhi, means fully observing precepts so that your deed and speech is purified. Your deed and speech is purified. When you sit for meditation and focus in the mind on the abdominal movement or any other physical or mental process, sometimes your mind may go to your deed and speech. You may recollect some actions or speech you did in the past and you spoke in the past. Then that deed is not purified. You are unhappy about it. You get embarrassed. Sometimes you feel guilty conscious about it. When the mind defiled and feel guilty conscious, you can't concentrate well on the object of meditation. It means because you haven't attained the purification of conduct or morality, sila visuddhi, you do not have the purification of mind, deep concentration. When your deed and speech are purified, when you recollect your deed and speech, you are happy about the purity of the deed and speech. So you feel happy, you feel the rapture, your mind becomes calm, then you can concentrate your mind on the object of meditation very well. Because purification of morality or conduct. So, to attain some degree of a deep concentration, you need to purify your deed and speech, or you need attain the purification of morality, sila visuddhi. Based on purified moral conduct, you practice vipassana meditation or samatha meditation. Then your mind easily concentrated on the object of meditation because of a purification of a deed and speech or moral conduct. So, when the mind is concentrated to a large extent, the insight that arises together with that concentration becomes sharp and penetrating, then the insight penetrates into the true nature of mental and physical phenomena which is observed. That is called the insight which discerns the specific characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena, or the insight that differentiates between the object and the subject, or mental process, physical process and mental process. It's the first stage of insight knowledge. Nama rupa pricchida jnana. Nama is mental process, rupa is a physical process, pricchida means to differentiate or to discern, jnana means insight. So nama rupa pricchida jnana means the insight that discerns the specific characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena, the insight that differentiates between the two processes, that's the mental process and physical process. When you observe rise and fall of the abdomen, knowing the very beginning of the movement of arising and to end of it, realizing the very beginning of a falling movement and to end of it, then gradually your mind becomes concentrated. The more deeply the mind, the noted mind concentrated, the clearer insight becomes. Then it penetrates into the nature of a mental and physical process. Here, penetrates into the rising movement of a physical phenomena and the falling movement of a physical phenomena as a series of movements, a series of broken movements which are rising and passing away one after another. Then you come to realize the noted mind that realizes this movement as just a natural process which are arising and passing away. In that state of jnana, insight knowledge, you are not aware of yourself. You are unconscious of your bodily form and also yourself, your person. What you are realizing at that moment is just rising movement, falling movement, and the mind that notes it. You are realizing discovering this dual process of mental phenomenon and physical phenomenon. Because you are unconscious about your bodily form and yourself, your person, you do not identify either the rising movement, falling movement, or the mind that knows it, or mental process which knows it, with yourself, with your person. You don't take this dual process to be a person, a being, and I know a you. Then you have removed the idea of a person, a being, a self of soul, and I know a you. Because you don't have any idea of a person being concerning this rise and fall of the abdomen and the mind that notes it, there won't arise any mental defilement such as desire, craving, lust, greed, hatred, ignorance, and so on. Because these mental defilements arise depending on the idea of a person, a being. But now you do not discover any person or any being, any self, any soul. What you are here discovering is the physical process of rising movement and falling movement, a mental process of the noting mind. These dual processes are also arising in passing away. They do not last even a millionth of a second. You experienced it, or you realized it through your personal experience, with the help of a deep concentration. Then you have removed the idea of a person, a being, Sakaya deity, Atta deity, which is the cause of defilement. In this way, the insight knowledge that discerns the specific characteristic of the movement of a vayodhatu, wind element, and the insight knowledge that differentiate between the object and the subject, the object, the mental process, and the subject, the object, physical process of movement, the subject, mental process of the noting mind. So it destroys the idea of a person, a being, Sakaya deity, Atta deity. This is the first jnana. But when you have this jnana with you, then that idea of a person, a being, comes again to you, and that you have it. When you have this inside knowledge again through your experience, and then through your reflection of this jnana, which you have been experienced in the retreat, in your meditation, then this jnana destroys the idea of a self or soul, a person or being. In this way, This mindfulness and meditation, vipassana meditation, enable a meditator to purify his view or his understanding. The idea of a person, a being, we call it Sakaya Deity. Sakaya Deity, the idea of a person, a being, has been destroyed by the insight knowledge that discerns specific characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena or object and subject. But we should be careful to have purification of a mind, that's a deep concentration of mind. When the mind is not yet deeply concentrated on the object of meditation, here deep concentration means some degree of a deep concentration. For vipassana meditator, very deep concentration is not needed, because when the noted mind is very deeply absorbed into the object of meditation, then it's not able to realize any mental or physical process, because it's totally absorbed into the object of meditation. So vipassana meditation need not a very deep concentration, but he needs some degree of a concentration. Say, the constant and continuous concentrated mind about at least 10 minutes, then 20 minutes, 30 minutes. If he can concentrate his mind deeply about 10 minutes, that concentration is enough to help the insight knowledge to penetrate into the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. If the mind can be concentrated more than 10 minutes, 20, 30, or 1 hour, it's better. So, then what do we need to have purification of a mind? Here, I need to explain to you what is the purification of a mind. When the mind is not well concentrated, some of the mental defilements or hindrance gets into the mind, then the mind gets defiled. When the mind gets defiled, it's not purified. So the insight that arises together with the defiled mind it's not sharp and penetrating, so that it can realize this mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. So, when the mind is well concentrated on each object of a mental process or physical process, it's purified from five kinds of hindrances. The Pali text and common commentary to them said, what are five kinds of hindrances? They are sense desire and ill will or anger or hatred and sloth and tapa. and restlessness and worry. And the last one is a skeptical doubt. These are five kinds of hindrances which defile the mind when the mind is not concentrated well. Sense desire, we call it kamachanda nivarana. Nivarana means a hindrances. Kamachana means a sense of desire. While you are meditating and sitting or and walking, when you have any of a sense of desires, yeah, sense of desire means a desire to see, desire to see a visible pleasant object, desire to hear a sweet sound, and so on, desire to smell a scent, desire to taste a good food, a desire to touch a soft texture, and so on, desire to think about something which is pleasant. These are six kinds of sense desires. When you are meditating, while you are meditating, if you have any of these, sense desire, then you can't concentrate well, you can't concentrate. Rising, falling, you put in your enough effort in the noting, trying to realize the very beginning movement of rising and falling. But while you are engaged in that, you hear a bird singing around meditation hall. Then actually you must note hearing, but you fail to note because you like the bird's song. Then what does you have? You like the bird's sound, so you fail to note it. Then you have the anger or aversion to it. Huh? What do you have? Huh? A desire to hear the song of the bird. That desire is known as a sense desire, kamachanda nivarana. When you do not know that desire becomes stronger and stronger. Could you concentrate well on the object of meditation? No. So that sense of desire is the hindrance to your concentration as well as insight. Because it defiles your mind. So this is a sense of desire, which is one of the five hindrances to your progress and in concentration as well as in insight. Then another one is Vyapada Nivarana in Pali, means ill will or hatred or anger. Vyapada Nivarana we call it. While you are meditating, sometimes you recollect what you were once insulted by a person, then what do you have? You have a pleasure, happiness, anger. Then when that anger is not noted, the anger becomes stronger. Then could you concentrate your mind on the object of meditation very well? Why? Because the anger agitated you, your mind, disturbed. So the anger is a hindrance to your concentration of mind. So it's called Nivarana hindrance. Anger, the same with disappointment, dejection, depression, these are also included in the ill will. So they are also hindrance to your progress and concentration as well as insight too. Then if you have any of these mental states or emotional states and you are mind while you are meditating, what should you do? Note it. Note it as it is. Then your noting should be energetic, attentive, and somewhat quick. Why? In this case, there is two process of mentality. One is the process of anger. The other is the process of a noting mind. Then, if the process of anger becomes stronger, it overwhelms the process of a noting mind. Then you can't concentrate well. The noting mind becomes weak and weak. Eventually, you may stop your meditation because you can't concentrate on the object of meditation. If the process of anger becomes weak because the noting mind becomes stronger and stronger, when the noting mind becomes stronger, it overpowers what? The process of anger. Then the anger becomes weak and then it stops. So you need to make your noting mind stronger and more powerful than what you do. Note superficially, lightly. How? Energetically, attentively, and somewhat quickly. If you are noting is slow, then in between each noting, the anger arises. Then it becomes stronger. When your noting becomes continuous and constant because of energetic noting, then there's no time in between each noting to arise anger. Then anger becomes weak and weak. Then it stops. So when you deal with such a hindrances as anger, depression, dejection, disappointment, sadness, and reluctancy. What you should do is to note attentively, energetically, these mental states, hindrances. Then when they have stopped, the mind becomes purified, and then it can be concentrated on the object of meditation very well. Then you have your purification of mind. When the mind becomes purified, the insight knowledge that arises together with that concentration becomes penetrating and sharp. Then it penetrates into the true nature of mental and physical process. You understand? Do you agree? Why? Because it's right. Yes. So, be careful to note any mental state or physical state attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly, so that your noting mind becomes continuous and more powerful. This is ill will, the hindrance of ill will. Vyapada Nivarana, we call it. Then the third one is Tina Mida Nivarana. Tina Mida means a sloth and tapa, mental sluggishness. I think you meditated have never had this sloth and tapa. Huh? You haven't experienced. Huh? You haven't experienced this sloth and tapa. Yes. This sloth and tapa is a bad friend of a yogi. Bad friend of a yogi. He's a friend because he wants to stay with you all the time. But he's a bad. Then, when you have this sloth and tapa, sleepiness, mental sluggishness, what should you do? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Yes, sometimes you enjoy it. When you enjoy it, does it go away or does it stay on? Huh? Hey, does it stay on? Then you should note it. Sleepy, 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 sleepy. Attentively, energetically, so that you can make your mind alert and active. When the mind becomes alert and active, then sloth and tapa goes away. That is a Tina Mida Nivarana, one of the hindrances. When you feel sleepy, when you have a sloth and tapa, could you concentrate your mind well on the object of meditation? No. So these hindrances are the enemy of concentration or purification of a mind. Do you agree with me? Why? through your personal experience, you realize it. You realize it. Then, when this sleepiness oppressed a yogi, he is helpless to note it. Yes, because his mind becomes dull, heavy, with the boredom of sleepiness and sloth and tapa. So it's not able to note it, but you must try to note at this stage. You should open your eyes in this state of sleepiness and mental sluggishness. When you open your eyes, then your mind becomes alert and active to a certain extent. Then it has some energy to struggle with the sleepiness. Yes. Then you try to note sleepy, 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 as much as possible, persistently and perseveringly. Then gradually the mind becomes alert, active and light. Then your friend goes away. Which is your friend? Yes. So, when the sleepiness, sloth and tapa has been destroyed, then you close your eye again. And what should you do? Contemplate on rise and fall of the abdomen as usual, lightly, superficially. If you observe rise and fall of the abdomen as usual, lightly, superficially, then your bed frame comes again in a short time. So you should not note rise and fall of the abdomen lightly and superficially. You should do it attentively, energetically, put some more effort in the noting. Then the mind becomes alert and active for the time being. Then your friend doesn't come again. Is right? Yes. If you are not able to overcome this sloth and tapa in this way, then the Lord Buddha teaches us 7 ways of overcoming this sloth and tapa. In the discourse of Pasalaya Mana Sutra, the discourse of Pasalaya Mana Sutra, the Buddha gives up the 7 ways of overcoming this sloth and tapa hindrance. You want to know? Why? Because you want to overcome sleepiness. Yes. I want to explain you only 2 or 3 ways of overcoming, because it takes some time to explain all the 7 ways. The one of the 7 ways is when you are not able to overcome the sleepiness by noting it attentively. Actually, you are not able to note attentively. Then the Lord Buddha said, you should pull your ears and twist at it. Very successful way. Yeah. Try. Yes. Try. Then one of the other way is the other way of the seven ones is get up and walk. When you walk, you should walk backwards. Yes, you should walk backwards. Then sloth and tuba will go away. If you do not believe in the teaching of the Buddha, you should practice it. And the retreat in Thailand, I connected to before I came here, and also in New Zealand too. I explained this way of overcoming hindrances, sloth and trouble. Meditator, they are practical men, so they practice it. They put it into practice. They walked backward, lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Especially the two Dutch ladies liked it very much. Because one of the Dutch ladies was very sleepy. Every sitting, he was sleepy, so she was sleepy. She was very much disappointed for her meditation. That's why I explained them these five ways, seven ways of overcoming sleepiness. That Dutch lady liked this way of overcoming sleepiness very much. He put it into practice. She always walked backward, backward, backward. They are walking. The spaces for walking meditation is also very large, very good. So, even at night, she walked backward. From that time onward, she didn't feel sleepy. Sleepiness is slow than to overcome. So, I would like you to put it into practice. When you feel sleepy and when you are not able to overcome it. Then, another way of the seven ones is you get out of a meditation hall. When you are not able to overcome this sleepiness, sloth and trouble, get out of the meditation hall and look up at the sky and count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on. Then look in all directions, directions, then you'll feel light. The mind becomes alert and active. But the Buddha said, before you look up at the sky, you should wash your face. After that, you look up at the sky, count the stars, and look at the moon. But I think here, in this retreat, you need not to look up at the sky. You should look at all directions to see kangaroos and rabbits. Then your eyes will become wide. The mind becomes alert and active. Yes, there are three ways of overcoming the sloth and trouble sleepiness. The Buddha taught us there are also the other way, but we need not explain it because the three ways are enough for you. Huh? Is it enough for you? Yes, put into practice. Then I want to tell you one of the way which one of my younger meditators practiced. Mbama meditator is a young student, a girl, 15 years old. She was feeling sleepy and every sitting she was not disappointed, but she got angry because whenever she sit, then she's sleepy in a 5 minutes of time. Then I do not explain these 5-7 ways of overcoming of doubt, but she knows just her way of overcoming. This is sloth and trouble. There's a big tamarind tree near the retreat center. Not near retreat center, meditation center, in the meditation center. There, she sit near that tamarind tree, facing the tree. Then her face is about, I think, 4 inches apart from the tree trunk. Then she meditate, rising, falling. In a 5 minutes time, it's a usual friend visited her. Then she notes, sleepy. But later on, she wasn't able to note. Then her forehead made it to the fig tree. Bang! Then she rubbed her head with her hand, but continued to meditate. Then again, second time, it banged against the tree. Then the third time, it doesn't bang against. From that time on, sleepiness is gone. Yes, you should also imitate her. Yeah? Put her that way also into practice. Yes, this is also one of the hindrances, sloth and trouble. The other one is Odajagogoja Nivarana. We call it in Pali. The meaning is restlessness and worry. Restlessness and remorse. Restlessness and remorse. So this restlessness and remorse also one of meditated as a friend. When you sit, note rising, falling, about 2 or 3 noting, then the mind goes. But you don't know. You think you are continue to note rising, fall of the abdomen. But the mind still comes to the rise and fall and notes superficially and lightly. Then it goes again. you don't know. Because in the beginning of the practice, you are not able to know the wandering mind, thinking mind. But later on, you come to realize, realize after the mind has disappeared, the wandering mind has disappeared. My mind is wandering. Then you are not able to note it because you not get used to note the mind, the wandering mind or the thinking mind. Later on you are able to note it, but the mind is going on. Very often these are Uddhaja, Kokoja, Nivarana. As long as you have this restlessness and worry, as remorse, you are not able to concentrate your mind on any object of meditation. So they are also hindrances. Then, what should you do? You should train yourself to observe whenever the mind goes out, whenever the mind wanders, whenever the mind thinks about something else, whenever you see some mental image, then you should not, you should observe these mental states, which is wandering or thinking, attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. So that your noting mind becomes more and more powerful to overcome, to overpower the thinking process and wandering process. Then the thinking process and wandering process will stop. In this way, thoughts become less and less, less. If you do not know these thoughts, thoughts become more and more. Sometimes the thoughts are floating. Sometimes the thoughts, you are dragged by the thoughts a very long way because you do not know thoughts. The Buddha said, Vikidam vajetam vikidam jetandi bhajanadi. That means when the mind is distracted, you should note it. When the mind goes out, the mind wanders about, when the mind thinks about something else, you must note it. That's what does that passage means. So, to overcome this restlessness and remorse, you should determine I won't think about something else as long as